Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Water more precious than gold. Think about it. Water, you know, it's just, can you imagine like Jeremiah having a radio program? It's like, okay, get ready. Everything we've been telling you, we're going to be telling you. And understand this, that know that at any moment we can cry uncle. At any moment we could say mercy. We could call out for God's mercy and we could turn back to him. And this plan, this strategically laid out progression of discipline that is coming our way, we can stop it. It's not, the only thing that's inevitable is heaven and hell. You know, that God will change things. He consider hardship as discipline. God's treating you as a son. We've been talking about, you know, what's going to begin to happen. What's happening in the world and what's happening in the economies. And now, here we are right now, at this point in this stage of the progression where they're saying that a farmer right now is being interviewed, and you got to hear this, and listen to what he says. He's saying this. He's saying because of the drought and the conditions of the weather in America, that he's saying that water is more precious than gold. Listen to this.
And I'm Charlene Israel.
And I'm Ephraim Graham. This summer continues to break heat records. A new report shows the Northeast experienced its warmest seven-month period since 1895. And it's not just the residents in the Northeast sweating it out. Farmers are feeling the impact of a record drought. And the government is taking action to help.
It's the drought that never ends. Farmers say rains over the weekend did little to ease the stress of the heat and drought on their crops. And with little change in the weather predicted, they're expecting the worst come harvest time.
Think about it now. They're talking about that this thing is escalating. And if you haven't yet went to VFN TV and watched Prudent Preparation, I encourage you, be prepared. Take the moment, take the time. And be prepared. If you're prepared, then and nothing happens, it's happening. So don't worry about it. It's going to happen. Right. But just imagine. Imagine if you're prepared and it doesn't happen, you're a wise person. Because the person who sees danger and prepares is a prudent person. The person who sees danger and does nothing is going to be destroyed. You know, and so I encourage you. Here we are right now, and they're saying, and you can see this on the VFN torch as they're grabbing the dry soil and they're beginning to show it. Listen up.
We had the table set for a really good crop and the rain shut off.
This has been the hottest, driest summer that I can remember. Now, my father says that 1936 was drier, but then I was only 2 years old then.
1,500 counties in 32 states have been declared disaster areas.
Think about it, 1,500 counties and 32, we only have 50 states.
Wow.
1,500 counties and 32 states have declared disaster areas. Why? Because of the drought.
This means farmers and ranchers in those areas are eligible for federal aid. That includes low-interest emergency loans, 3.8 million acres more grazing land, and a grace period on insurance premiums due. The Obama administration is working to find even more ways to help farmers hit hard by the drought. The president authorized $30 million more in drought aid.
You think about it. We're literally right now, we are because of EPA regulations. And you got to hear, I mean, you got to understand Jehoiakim. You know, Jehoiakim was set up by God to be able to bring oppression on God's people. And one of the things he did was he taxed the people and he made regulations and rules on them. And there's so many laws and bureaucracies, almost bureaucracy right now, being just everything you can imagine. And one of the things that the Environmental Protection Agency is saying, as this drought is hitting simultaneously, when this drought is hitting, they're telling farmers that they have to take 40% of the food and they have to turn it into fuel to go in the gas tanks of America.
Wow.
So while one in six people in America are starving, hungry, while hunger is just rampant across the world. We're taking 40% of our food and we're sticking it in the bellies of our cars. I mean, think about it. I mean, listen to this. This is where he's talking about. This is the condition. So now listen, I'm talking about that, how water is more precious than gold.
This is extraordinary land. There isn't any better land in the state of Colorado.
And for the last 57 years, Glenn Fritzler's family has grown corn on these 320 acres in Weld County. It's taken hard work, good soil, and one very important thing.
Water to us is actually more valuable than gold.
And if that's the case, farmers...
Isn't that amazing? Water to us is more valuable than gold. You know, so you know, Jared, you know, went, my son went to Haiti and spent about, I guess, six weeks there. And this is a huge contrast between the blessing that has been on America and for example, Haiti. You know, no running water in this particular area. And basically, they drink bleach water all the time. But it just, we take for granted the fact that you can turn your faucet on in your house, your apartment, your home, whatever. And out of that faucet comes water, drinkable water that's not going to kill you or destroy you. And maybe you water your grass. Maybe you have, you know, you have a garden or grass and you water it. But without water, I don't know, the body, human body, I think it's made up of like 80% water. And if you start pulling water away from human beings, then their your substance just goes away. You know, you have to have water for everything to work, including your body. And now he's saying right here, and you can see this on the VFN Torch, that water is more precious than gold. And we are, our Environmental Protection Agency, our government, telling our farmers who grow food that you have to now turn 40% or more of your corn into ethanol to be able to go into the tanks of America, into our gas tanks, while people are starving. And it's like, we got to get a clue. This is not just... And God will balance the books on this thing. I mean, listen up.
Eight.
This has been an all-hands-on-deck response. Obviously, we've got a lot more to do because a lot of folks are being affected by this.
The hardest-hit crops are corn and soybean. Shortages are driving up prices, and so is ethanol production. The EPA requires ethanol to be added to gasoline. About 40% of U.S. corn is used to make ethanol. Lawmakers say that's causing higher prices. All this has a ripple effect on the meat industry. Farmers are cutting down their herds as the cost of grain to feed the animals rises.
Okay, we have a drought. Water is more precious than gold. Jehoiakim, the leader, has been put in place, the set man by God, you know, and you got to hear from previous broadcasts, you know, that, you know, that our president is a set man, that God has set him in place. That he's fulfilling a strategy, you know, whether he knows it or not,
that's
bringing oppression on America. And we need to pray for him and uphold him and figure out how God wants us to go through this. But this is the biggest thing that the Lord wants us to do, is repent before God, that Jehoiakim has nothing to do with our relationship with God, other than the fact that it's letting us know that, you know, we've been going the wrong way.
That's right.
And so now the corn is going in our gas tanks. The stuff that you eat is going in our gas tanks because a bureaucrat under Jehoiakim, and I'm talking about Jehoiakim, I'm talking about our president, President Barack Obama, and Jehoiakim is a king. He's a king over Israel. And so they're both, you know, leaders. But Jehoiakim was set in place by a strategy of God through Egypt. You know, and we'll talk more about this. But... for the purpose of oppressing God's people, who, by the way, were in rebellion to God. Maybe they had atheists, you know, leaving them, I don't know. And so this was happening in America's areas. And so now, not only are the corn shortages happening because of the drought, now, by the way, your beef is going down, where you get your hamburgers from, by the way, America. That the beef production's going down because they can't feed the cows, because the cows, you know, eat corn. Listen up.
We're going to produce in the U.S. Roughly a billion fewer pounds of beef. That's about a 4% decline. In
a billion pounds less of beef. What is it? You know, you always wonder sometimes. You go like, well, what's it going to take? Yeah, right. I mean, what is it going to take?
What's bottom, right?
It, when water is more precious than gold, when, you know, you're going to produce a billion pounds less of beef, you know, that your economies are being hit, your borders are being infiltrated, your churches, some of the churches are publicly being professed, and God has exposed that to let us know that there's atheists professing to be pastors over people who don't even know that March is a month, not a book in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Listen up.
2012 versus last year.
And as farmers in every industry are forced to pay more and produce less, consumers will see a price increase at the grocery store.
Okay, now here we go. The next byproduct of this is that when you go to the store to get your whatever, the food prices are going to go up. Not only is there a shortage in food, because yes, you put the, they forced the farmer to put 40% of what he grew in the tank of the car that drove you to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, not only is a billion pounds less of beef on that grocery store shelf, but now the very food that's on the shelves is going to cost you more. Listen up.
The cost of beef, dairy, chicken, and bakery products are all expected to rise.
We have to understand this. This is a sign. You know, this is a sign. When things like this happen, you don't just put your head between your legs and kiss things goodbye. You say, God, what have we done?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What have we done? Going back to the original intent of the church. I mean, it's not going to be popular when you stand up for God when others are standing down against God. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be popular when you read from the Word of God when other people are preaching from their ideas, concepts, philosophies, and traditions. Mm-hmm. But, do you want to be popular or powerful? Do you want to have this country? Do we want to keep this country or not? You know, God has given us this country. You know, God has blessed us with this country that we can, if we squandered our freedom. We just squandered our freedom when we had the First Amendment that said you can preach Jesus anyhow, anyway, anywhere, you know, and all of a sudden all we did was build bigger houses and more stuff and demanded more. And here we're getting paid 360% more than like 18, 20, 28% of the world's poor. We're like the wealthiest nation there ever was, you know, from all times. And yet we squandered this First Amendment right given to us that nobody can stop us from preaching the gospel except us. Mm-hmm. Mm. And now it looks like if we don't turn around, the very Constitution that God allowed to happen, which is the longest living constitution in the history of the world, by the way, even though we're a young country.
Wow.
That it could just change overnight. When it changes overnight, you're going to be like Dudemeyer Duderman sneaking around with Bibles, trying to preach the gospel behind some building somewhere or, you know, in some cave somewhere, or some secret place, instead of just being boldly and standing up in stadiums and declaring. And this is what I believe. This is because the Lord has shown me personally some things and some others have seen it. I believe that this humble is going to be, there's a humbling process coming, but I believe the church is going to arise for its greatest day. Mm. But you know, why not do it now? Why does it have to get, so, you know, horrific?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know, whether America lives or dies, the church will live forever. The kingdom
this
will.
This is true.
And so here we are. We're putting 40% of our food while people starve in our cars, while there's plenty of fuel to be able to run the cars. Mm. I mean, this just doesn't work. You can't take, can you imagine taking 40% of the food off your kid's plate?
Wow.
And throwing it into your, what are those little cracker box looking cars? What are they called? Humvee. The Humvee.
Those big ones?
Yeah, it's like a big cracker box.
Big
going
box.
Over.
Yeah.
A square little wheels. Box, you know. Yeah, how much money did you pay for that? and so, yeah, that takes a lot of gas.
Yeah.
And so can you imagine taking 40% of your kid's food and throwing it in your Humvee? Mm. Well, the question that we always say, and we'll be talking more about this in the extra hour, is, well, it's the government's fault. It's the government's fault, you know. And if I was the president, I would do differently. But the truth is, you know, in the days of monarchies, the king could make these rules and determine what was going to happen, and they could change things overnight. Well, we don't have a monarchy where a king rules. We have a republic government, form of government, which means it's representative government. in the context of that, we all participate in this democracy, but it's not a democratic government. And so with that, it is a government by the people and for the people. And mm-hmm. so what happens is we are actually the kings.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's just a whole bunch of kings. And we're going to determine which way our country goes. Mm-hmm. And if you're a Christian, not only are you considered a king that can issue an edict like everybody else is an American citizen, you can choose who you want to rule your land mm-hmm. because you're the leader. But you also are under the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is the kings that King Jesus is over? It's you. You're a king and a priest.
That's right.
And so now you have your kingship in the land of America, but you also are a king in the kingdom of God. And so in the spiritual realm and the natural realm, I meant, I think that you're without excuse, you know, if you don't understand right. that you are like Josiah, and you can either rip your clothes and begin to change the leadership of your kingdom, sir, your kingdom, man, ma'am. Or you can point at the people that you hired mm-hmm. and act like they're the ones running your business down when the truth is they have to come to you even with $1 billion. This is the most expensive presidential elections ever happened in the history of right. America.
Wow.
But they're spending all that money because they have to go to you because you're a king.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of kings, so you're going to have to work together. But understand this, that you're going to determine who you're going to hire to run your kingdom. And you can't complain if the Environmental Protection Agency, sir, that's part of a decision that our present ruler is making to be able to put into the cars, the belly of the cars instead of the belly of the people, and you're not doing anything about that, you don't think that God's going to hold us accountable for that, for your kingdom, mm-hmm. what's happening in your kingdom? We got to quit pointing at government. It's a government by the people and for the people. They serve if we elect them. We choose them to serve. You know, we're not supporting any candidate. We're supporting God and God's ways of doing things as the church. We have to rise up to this occasion and say, you know what? You know, this is not right. You should not put 40% of the food in the bellies of the car. I don't care if it's got a black smoke ring coming out the back of your Humvee. Don't right. put the kids' food in your car tank. Stop driving your car.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can do that. We sure. can do that. We can stand up and say, listen, you know, you're an atheist. I don't care what you thought. You're not going to be leading this flock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we start putting people out from amongst us, you know, that Paul warned us about that are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Right.
And start sending them away and begin to restructure, you know, our country by falling to our knees and crying out to God for mercy. And he says, no one cries for justice. We can cry for justice if we go to the cross and say, Lord, first, forgive me for my sins and what mm-hmm. I've done wrong. You know, and help me to be right before you, and let God's justice be served, but served on Jesus Christ on the cross, and then by faith in that finished work of crisis and justice, begin to let everybody else know that justice can be served for them at the cross. But if they don't choose the cross, God's gavel will land on this country.
That's right. Mm.
That is your kingdom.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.